You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You've joined us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Brighton, Fakenham, Exeter and Catterick on this edition. There's also an Irish card over at Ballinrobe and plenty more to come on Racing Radio on Tuesday afternoon. Loads of racing to get stuck into. Sam Norris here on the podcast and joining me today to look at four races on Tuesday is Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Sam, how are you doing?
Not bad at all, yeah. Really enjoyed the racing. Of course, we had the Punchestown Festival last week. Guineas weekend at Newmarket was fantastic. You were there, Sean. Good time?
Yeah, it was a great meeting, as you say. Great racing across the boards. I think we saw a good winner of both guineas, but in particular the 1,000 guineas, Minding. She looks something special. Today's headline on Monday in the Racing Post, mind-blowing. That about sums her up. She was just very, very good. Galileo Gold, the same. I know there were a few horses that disappointed in the 2,000 guineas, but he looks like he's an improved performer as a three-year-old and really put his rivals to the sword.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get stuck into the Monday jury then, Sean, which of course covers the guineas in the main. The first question is regarding the 2,000 guineas. You touched on it a little bit there. Galileo Gold, a first classic win for Hugo Palmer, first win in the race since 1999 for Frankie Dettori. A superb performance from both of them. The big disappointment of the race was Air Force Blue. I think, in fact, the first three in the betting finished the last three home, Sean. So there were disappointments in the 2000.
There were. As you said, Air Force Blue bombed out. There was a lot of money on the day for Marcel. I think he finished plumb last in the end. And also Stormy Antarctic, who only beat those two horses, I think.
Yep.
So, you know, three of the big players, according to the market, didn't show up. And that made it a little bit disappointing. But then, you know, I'm loathe to knock a horse who's gone and won a classic, and then that's what Galileo Gold has done. And he, as I said there earlier, he looks an improved performer on what we saw. You know, and he could have been called the winner from some way out. That's a significant thing about Galileo Gold. He beat a good horse in Massart, who had shown high class form at two. Had finished second in the Dewhurst behind Air Force Blue. But the run of Massart does suggest to you that Air Force Blue hasn't run his race. He was comprehensively beaten by that horse in the Dewhurst, yet has turned the tables quite markedly. But it opens it up a bit this year, and you know, there are questions now over Galileo Gold. What do connections do? Do they stick at a mile? Do they go a mile and a quarter? Or do they head for the Derby over a mile and a half?
It'd
be a lovely problem for them to have.
Yeah, it will, yeah. Well, he's by Paco Boy, which wouldn't suggest he get the Derby trip, but there's a bit more stamina on the dam side.
Yeah, he's out of a Galileo mare, as his name would suggest, in Galicia. He'd no problem with a mile at two. He stayed the mile really strongly at the weekend, and if anything was going away from them at the end. So I think a mile and a quarter is going to be well within his compass. And then look, who knows, will he get the Derby trip? It is very hard to say. But if he does, he's a Derby horse.
Yeah, 8-1 if you're interested for Galileo Gold to win the Derby with us here at William Hill. Question number two then regards the 1,000 guineas. As we said, Minding a very impressive winner of this. And Aidan O'Brien bounced back from the disappointment of Air Force Blue to saddle the first three home in the 1,000 guineas. And Minding looked at a good horse. It was arguably deeper, the Phillies version, than the Colts version.
Yeah, maybe deeper, and certainly you could argue that more of the main contenders ran to form anyway. What with the Aidan O'Brien second and third strings, Bally Doyle and Alice Springs running right up to form. The only real disappointment of those towards the head of the betting, I suppose, was Lumiere, who was beaten a long, long way from home. Never looked comfortable. But barring her, the rest of them have turned up. You've got Nathra in fifth. She was a good winner of one of the trials. I do think it was a well up to scratch renewal, and Minding has just blown them away. She travelled with consummate ease through the race, and Ryan Moore looked very, very comfortable on her. The result never looked in doubt, Sam, did it?
Yeah, you're correct. A superb 1,000 guineas. And she's now even money for the Oaks. Would that be something that would interest you? Looks a prohibitive price, but given what we saw from her.
I think she'll win the Oaks. Mm. I don't think I'd rush to take even money.
Yeah.
But she is definitely the best filly we've seen and arguably the best three-year-old we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Moving on to some of the lesser races then from Newmarket. Did the Sagaro or Jockey Club Stakes contain the Gold Cup winner? We saw Mizzou win the Sagaro again. Of course, Jack Hobbs, the real disappointment in the Jockey Club Stakes. Is there anything in there for you looking forward to the Gold Cup?
You'd question whether Exosphere is a Gold Cup horse simply because he looked to have a lot of speed, Sam. You know, that race he won, the Jockey Club Stakes, is only a mile and a half race, and he quickened away from strong stayers in Simple Verse and Big Orange, who finished second and third. As you say, Jack Hobbs was disappointing. Mizzou, though, he's definitely an interesting Gold Cup contender, given that he looks all about stamina. He looks to have improved again over the winter into this season. He showed great grit, I thought, to tough it out and beat Clever Cookie. So he'd have to enter the equation in the Gold Cup for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question then, did we see a Royal Meeting sprint winner at Ascot Newmarket or Chatin? I don't know how much of the action, if at all, you watched from Hong Kong, Sean.
I didn't see Chautauqua, but I've read reports and seen the hype on Twitter and on the Racing Post subsequently. So I must try and make a bit of time this week to watch him, because apparently he blew his rivals away over in Chatin. With regards to the action that took place closer to home, I think Gifted Master is a rock-solid candidate for something like the Commonwealth Cup. So he's a possible and probable Royal Meeting winner, you could argue. Of the older horses, we saw Profitable win the Palace House. I think the ultimate aim for him is the King's Stand. And look, these 5 furlong horses, they take it in turns. He looks to have improved. He's only a four-year-old, which, as sprinters go, is still young. So look, he could improve further and maybe end up in the winners' enclosure at Royal Ascot after the King's Stand, but he needs to do a little bit more. I think Gifted Master for me would be definitely the one I'd take forward into the Royal Meeting.
Okay, which horses have caught your eye during the first month of the turf season?
Ooh, good question. We've seen so much, haven't we?
We spoke about it a lot of them, to be fair.
Yeah. We'll sort of try and stick with 2-year-olds. Maybe we haven't touched on any 2-year-olds. On the piece so far, and I thought the horse that we saw win yesterday at Newmarket for Ed Dunlop, Global Applause, was as good a 2-year-old winner as I've seen this season so far. He was very, very impressive. That was over 5 furlongs. He looks to me like he'll have no problem in getting a 6th furlong. He's by Mason, who was at his best over 6 out of a Royal Applause mare, so he's likely to make into a sprinter. You know, I'm not sure whether he'll want much further, but he could be a player for something like the Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot, you feel. And you know, good start for his stallion Mason. As I say, it's his first season at stud, and he already looks to have a pretty smart one.
Okay, Global Applause then going in the notebook for Sean. The final question on this week's jury then, who do you like the look of in the Chester Cup this Wednesday? Of course, it's their 3-day May meeting. We're non-runner money back here at William Hill after the declarations have come out for this one. Steve Rogers heads affairs at 7-2, 8-1 Gang Warfare, 8-1 Quick Jack, Silver Concord is 9-1, Moonrise Landing is 10-1, it's 12-1 or bigger the remainder. It's usually very hotly contested, and 7-2 favourite here in the shape of Steve Rogers looks a little bit on the skinny side for a race of this nature.
Yeah, he's short, isn't he? But he's progressing very, very nicely. This 5-year-old who made a winning reappearance at Kempton 3 weeks ago, beating Shades of Silver. He was a shade of odds on for that race and fairly romped home. He's been dealt a favourable draw in stall 3. That's a big plus for him. As is the second favourite, or one of the second favourites, Gang Warfare. He's won inside him in stall 2. Another of those towards the head of the betting, Quick Jack. He's also an 8-1 shot. He hasn't been so kindly drawn. He's out wide in stall 16, but has Ryan Moore to aid him. He was second in the race last year behind subsequent Ascot Gold Cup winner, a trip to Paris. So we know he likes the track, and he's got course form in this race. Dermot Weld brings over Silver Concord, who hasn't been seen since finishing last behind Altior in the Supreme Novices. But we know he's a high-class flat horse on his day. And he'd be a player from stall nine. He'd probably get the vote for me at this stage. Silver Concord. I don't think he'd mind it if it dried up a little bit more. Even it's good to soft at the moment. If it was genuine good ground, I think that would be perfect for Silver Concord. Marwan Kukash is well represented, as you'd expect, but doesn't look to have anything like a standout performer. Gabriel's King is the shortest price of his runners, but he got drawn out in the car park in stall 17. So I think Dr. Kukash will do well to win the race that he so loves again. So yeah, as I say, I'll probably plumb for Silver Concord at this stage.
Okay, the Irish Raider then, Silver Concord, catching the eye of Sean. That wraps up the Monday jury. Away from that, it's been a really good start to the season for the Quin Yard personally, Sean. Any line on any of the recent winners? There's been a few.
Yeah, we've had a good start to the season, as you say, and last week was another good week. We'd four winners. Nice horse, Irish Optimism, won a maiden up at Ayr last Monday, got the ball rolling. A smart mover at a three-year-old handicapper. She got up in the dying strides to win at Pontefract. Then we had a couple of winners for my mum in her colours. Evanescent won a claimer at Redcar. I was on the radio that day. And then probably the icing on the cake was Icarian Road winning on Guineas Day down at Newmarket. Anyone who was listening when I was on air the other day would have heard me speak in glowing terms about the horse. He's a horse we really do hold in high regard. And finally he showed it at Newmarket. He's won three from four now this season, but that was his first go back at six furlongs. He's a horse with loads of speed, and I think he's going to do really, really well.
Okay, good stuff. Good man. We'll move on then to look at some of the action on Tuesday. Plenty of racing to come on Tuesday, and we've picked up four races from four different venues across both codes, so a real variety on this edition of the podcast. But we begin at Brighton with their 3:20. This is a seven furlong handicap. Just seven runners line up for this class four. Always interesting when you come to look at a Brighton race, Sean. Such a unique track, and really doesn't suit every horse. Course and distance form, I think, at Brighton, almost more than anywhere else, is of vital importance.
Yeah, and unsurprisingly, we've got three C and D winners in the race, in Ice Slice, Live Dangerously, and Paul of Victoire. They're older horses. We've got three-year-olds taking on the elders in Marie Henshaw and Kismet Hardy. Ice Slice was in good form when last seen a fortnight ago, winning here over this course and distance, beating Eastern Dragon by a head on the day under Ryan Tate, who retains the ride on this occasion for James Eustace. Live Dangerously was well down the field that day, but was a pretty big price, and is still probably as high as he wants to be. Live Dangerously, he might just need to find his mark slipping beneath 70 to be winning again. Paula Victoire has been kept busy in recent times on the all-weather, was a winner at Lingfield, three starts back. He's a consistent sort, but I tend to think he's maybe a little bit better on the all-weather these days. Marie is a fascinating contender for the Johnson team, having just had three starts to date. She won her first two. She was beaten behind Thaden Gray in Handicap Company at Chelmsford last time out, but that looked a pretty decent three-year-old only race. Marie now takes on her elders for the first time, but she could have more to offer. Henshaw, Charlie Hills' mount, is having his first run of the season, and his first run for the Hills team was with Paul Deegan last year. Henshaw, Charlie Hills' string are going well enough, so you'd expect a bold bit from him. And Kismet Hardy needs to show more than what he did a week ago at Bath. I'd probably side with Henshaw for the Hills team. He was highly tried after winning a Roscommon maiden last year, but is now down to a mark of 78 and could take advantage of that on his first start for the Hills team.
Okay, Henshaw then getting the pick for Sean in the 3:20 at Brighton. From a 7-furlong handicap then we go to a 3-mile, 5-furlong handicap chase here at Faken, and this is their 3:30. 11 runners contest this staying contest. Who's on your mind for this one, Sean?
King Messini would have to be a player. He's a horse who likes decent ground and is often kept to better ground running at tracks like Ludlow. That was last seen running at Haydock on good ground. The good ground here at Fakenham will suit him. I think he's ideally suited by sharp tracks as well, Sam. So he'd have to be a player, and he wasn't in bad form at Haydock last time out, finishing fifth rather behind No Duffer in a very competitive race, though. I think it was more competitive than this. David Pipe's horse, Pride of the Castle, catches my eye. He's a horse who is trying a marathon trip for the first time, but to me, all he does is stay, and I think this market step up in Tripp could bring out a little bit of improvement in Pride of the Castle. You've got Thomas Wilde at the top of the weights for Philip Hobbs. He was third in the he was third behind Any Currency at the April meeting at Cheltenham last time out. Sam, a repeater, that would see him go close. But I'll plump for Pride of the Castle here.
Okay, Pride of the Castle, and then the David Pipe runner for Sean in the 3:30 at Fakenham. We go to Exeter now for their 6:45, a handicap hurdle here over just shy of 3 miles. 12 runners line up for this contest. What's caught the eye here?
This is a wide open race, Sam. Get Involved is a horse of Robin Dickens, who's been in good form in recent times. He was a winner 3 starts back at Newbury, beating Theatre Goer off at 102. He's seen his mark rise to 115 subsequently, but was a good second behind Solstice Sun around Cheltenham 19 days ago. Others you consider, well, you've got the likes of the Torrard Man for Alan King, who's booked Kevin Dowling to take the ride. He's a young conditional attached to the yard and is able to claim £10 off this horse's back, which could be a huge benefit to the Torrard Man. He'll certainly find this easier than the handicap he contested at Ascot last time out behind Taj Badalandabad. As well, we've got the likes of Kaisersberg and Carin Noir. Horizontal Speed would even have a chance at his very best, but I think the Torrard Man is interesting under Kevin Dowling, and I'll chance him each way.
Okay, the Torrard Man then for Alan King gets the choice for Sean Quinn in this Exeter 6:45. The final race on today's podcast then comes up at 7:25 from Catterick. We've got a handicap here over 7 furlongs, 11 runners down for this one. I'm going to Catterick tomorrow, Sean.
Are you?
Yeah. So,
good stuff.
Hopefully you can give me some pointers for this one.
Yeah. Favourite treat probably be a good starting point, given that he represents Ruth Carr's informed team and was a winner himself last time out at Doncaster, beating Cliff. It was a big price that day. A bit of a shock winner. 20-1 he won at. But as I said, the Ruth Carr team are in good nick, and he's sure to give a good account of himself again. You've got the likes of Taish, who's been running consistently of late for Michael Appleby and his team. Gurkha Friend is Karen McClintock's representative. This horse was third behind Funding Deficit up at Ayr last weekend. Karen McClintock had a winner last weekend at Pontefract in Avenue of Stars, so her small string is going well enough. Dr. Red Eye is a horse who knows his way around this track. He's a course and distance winner in the past. He was a bit disappointing at Brighton last time out, but before that had finished second behind Rocco's Delight at the track. I think, though, I'll probably just take a chance on Gurkha Friend with Graham Lee aboard again. It berthed a little bit wide in stall 9, but the ground is soft, and if it got even softer, there's every chance they might edge towards the stand side and the home straight at Catterick. If that were the case, then 9 wouldn't look so bad, Sam. And Gurkha Friend might be an each-way price.
Okay, Gurkha Friend, the pick then for Sean in that 7:25 at Catterick. Thank you for that, Sean. If you could just remind us, please, one more time, your 4 selections for the action on Tuesday.
Yep, sure thing. In the 3:20 at Brighton, I'm going with Henshaw on his first start for Charlie Hills. Then in the 3:30 at Fakenham, I'm going to side with Pride of the Castle, who steps up in Trip. I think that will suit. We go to Exeter then for their 6:45, a handicap hurdle, and I'll chance the Torrard Man dropping in class a little bit into an easier race than that Ascot one last time out, with Kevin Dowling taking £10 off. And then on to Catterick for a 7 furlong race at 7:25, and I'm going to side with Gurkha Friend, who ran a good race last week up at Ayr to finish third behind Funding Deficit. If he can build on that, he'd be a big player here.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Sean Quinn ahead of the racing on Tuesday. And remember to tune into William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. where we'll have all of the action covered from the domestic meetings and indeed that card at Ballinrobe as well. Thanks for that, Sean, and best of luck.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.